For the last several decades now, there have been a lot of people publicly demanding changes to church teaching. Even when those teachings are divine truths, revealed by God and not changeable by any man, even a pope or ecumenical council. Sadly, these demands have radically escalated in the last couple of years. Of course, this can be extremely disconcerting to faithful Catholics, and particularly when it's our own fellow Catholics demanding these changes, and especially when it's Catholic priests and even bishops and even, shockingly, high-ranking cardinals. Sometimes Catholics, including myself, wonder why church authorities delay in correcting or disciplining Catholics who publicly dissent from the church's ancient teachings. It doesn't seem to be fair to faithful Catholics, not much less the rest of the world, to let the confusion go on. Personally, I can tell you that a priest's job is made a whole lot more difficult than it has to be by these people. When you endure criticism for teaching the truth, a difficult truth that may upset some people, but it's a truth that's been handed on since the beginning of the church and also explicitly and repeatedly clarified by recent popes, you could do that. I can do that. I can take criticism if I'm telling what I believe has been handed on. But it is very disconcerting when, after I do that, some bishop or cardinal somewhere confuses everything by seeming to teach the exact opposite. And nothing happens to them. And most of the rest of the hierarchy is silent. Why does the church allow this to go on without doing something about it? Sometimes it's because of cowardice. Sometimes it's because they don't know how to handle the situation the most effectively. Sometimes it's because of misplaced caution. And sadly, in the case of some bishops, sometimes it's because they agree with the dissenters. But sometimes the delay is necessary and is even part of God's plan. In today's gospel, Jesus tells us, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed. His enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat. When the crop grew, the weeds appeared as well. And then when the servants came and tell him they want to pull up the weeds, the master replies, 'No, let them grow together until the harvest.'" Why would it be ever acceptable to let the weeds grow with the wheat, to allow confusing and false doctrines to grow and spread through the church along with the truth? Today's text gives us two important reasons. First, Jesus says, if you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. How many times do we try to accomplish something good only to have the unintended negative consequences overwhelmingly offset the good we've done? Or how many times does someone in authority try to pursue justice but overreach and do damage to the innocent? I mean, how many times, for example, have moms and dads punished all their children for acting up when some of them had done nothing wrong at all? You can think of the time when my brother might have taken one of my toys and we started to argue and I was justified. I was always justified. But then mom and dad sent us both to bed without supper because we were fighting. They weren't wrong, but they really didn't do what they set out to do. Or how many times does a good person do something wrong? And the choice has to be made whether to punish them severely or to give them a second chance. Similar things happen in the church all the time. During the Second Vatican Council from 1963 to 1965, Cardinal Alfredo Taviani was the Pope's head of doctrine, head of the Holy Office. They called it then. Today we call it the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith. Cardinal Taviani was outspoken in his opposition to some of the more progressive cardinals, bishops, and theologians at the council, men who were taking very controversial positions. As it turned out, many of these folks would go on to cause all sorts of problems and confusion in the church, and many of them were the mentors of the men today who are causing so much confusion. Even so, the Pope at the time, Pope Paul VI, chose to hold back from disciplining all these people that Taviani was upset with. Many have criticized Pope Paul for this, but in many cases, he was simply choosing to leave the weeds lest he pull up the wheat with them. Now, personally, I wish the Pope would have pulled a few more weeds. And in the end, I think if we look at the way he ruled in the last few years of his life, I think he wished he had pulled up a few more weeds too. But thank God he didn't pull up all the weeds that all the folks that Taviani had been upset with. Because one of those folks wound up seeing the problem with some of the ways he was thinking, adjusting his course, and then he went on to be the church's lion of orthodoxy for almost 30 years, and went on to not only have Taviani's job as head of doctrine in the church, but also went on to have Paul VI's job as the Pope. Joseph Ratzinger was a young priest at the Second Vatican Council, a great theologian then, and effected many changes there. But he was known as very progressive at Vatican II, but eventually became known as the very traditional Pope Benedict XVI. So we see why the Lord tells us that sometimes we need to let the weeds and the wheat grow together until harvest. But there's also a second reason for not always pulling the weeds. Jesus goes on to say, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened. One reason the church, especially good bishops, don't act quickly in every single problem case is that it waits for us to act. While we have to live like wheat surrounded by weeds, we also need to live as leaven to the society we live in, by truly and clearly living out our Christian lives in the day-to-day world. We can and will raise up the faith in those around us. How many of us take time to educate ourselves on the church's teaching on the issues that face us today? And I don't mean reading the articles in newspapers, but reading the Bible, the Catechism, and the writings of the great popes, fathers, and doctors, and saints of the church. Using things like we have now this forum.org, this very excellent website that we all have access to, right? We bought a membership. You can use it anytime. How many of us take advantage of these things? And how many of us act on these teachings by putting them into practice and proclaiming them to the world we live in every day? If we were doing that, would these cardinals and bishops have any desire to public dissent? And wouldn't that also strengthen the cardinals and bishops who want to do the right thing? Is it Rome and the bishops, or is it us who fails to act? Think about it. At the party you went to last night, or work last week, when someone accused the church of something like harsh treatment of gay people, or some other false accusation against the church, did you explain to them what the church really intends and teaches about the dignity of sexuality and love and forgiveness and truth? Or did you remain silent or even seem to agree with them? Or at home, parents, when you saw something on television that showed ignorance or hostility against the church, did you bother to take a moment to point it out and clarify it to your children? And children, how about you? When someone at school or camp or on the playground, maybe one of your friends or even a teacher or coach, says something about the church that you know isn't right, do you take the time to do something about it? Do you maybe say something to that person? Or at least, when you go home, say something to mom and dad about it? Now, some would say, well, what can I do? What difference can I make? How can little old me change anything in the world around me? Again, Jesus addresses that in the gospel today. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. The mustard seed is like the leaven he also talks about. Only a tiny bit of leaven is used to raise the whole loaf of bread. Maybe prudence limits what you can say or do in any particular situation. Maybe you honestly discern that the good you would want to accomplish would be overshadowed by the misunderstanding that would result. Maybe you're just being careful not to pull the weeds out, lest you pull the weed out with it. Maybe you're acting with clemency and leniency and mercy, as today's first reading tells us the Lord does with us. Still, if you do act with prudence and in mercy, you also have to remember that the Lord says today that at the end of the age, the weeds are collected and thrown into the fiery furnace. The weeds go to hell. In mercy towards the weeds that are among the wheat, you and I must do something for them to keep them from the fiery furnace of hell. We don't help them by remaining silent. We help them by telling them the truth. Yes, perhaps slowly and gently and always with kindness. As the Book of Wisdom says today, those who are just must be kind. And warning them not just about the prospect of the fiery furnace, but also offering them the beauty of our Lord's promise that the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. But mercy demands not silence, but that we tell them the truth. Today, as we continue more deeply into this Holy Mass, let us pray for Pope Francis and all the bishops and priests of the Church, that they may have the prudence and wisdom to discern and the courage and the mercy to act how, where, and when the Lord Jesus wants them to, in either pulling weeds or leaving the weeds to grow in the Church. And let us pray for ourselves that the words of the gospel and the grace of this sacrament may bear great fruit in us so that we may be the wheat of the harvest. Never, never the weeds that are bundled for burning. And that our Lord may give us the patience to live as wheat, even among the weeds. And give us the prudence, mercy, and courage to act as the leaven that transforms the world into Christ's kingdom. Praise be Jesus Christ.